If the gardener knew one thing, it was what people needed. He nourished the desperation, let it flourish, nursing his victims toward acceptance, reconciliation with themselves, and ideally resignation to their fate at his hands. Of course, not everyone handed themselves over, not when they saw his eyes flicker, empathy draining out, the settled logic of his endgame playing out for them swiftly with a rope around their neck, or a rolled-up t-shirt or a bedsheet. His father preferred to cut them, but the gardener never liked the mess. Cleaning up meant throwing things out, meant getting caught. He didn't want to get caught. Not now, especially when he was the last one still following the rules, still planting the seeds when summoned, the last one who understood the real price of progress so many in this world appeared to have forgotten, unwilling to admit the human cost of their endeavor, writing it all off with suspicious scaffold collapses around the holidays or crane malfunctions that dropped a ton of concrete onto some 22-year-old who could barely hold up a sign that said, "Slow." That wasn't how it was meant to be done. You needed to start with the foundation. You had to acknowledge the price you were willing to pay. Incidentals and disbursements incurred along the way were irrelevant. You put blood into the pit, and then you watched it grow. This pit was ruined before it even had a chance to flourish. Beyond the hubris of this belated request, the gardener's fury was directed at the carelessness of the site itself. The flagrant disregard for safety protocols so prevalent in construction across the city. Despite the power of his senses, the gardener needed to see the blood before he abandoned his mission. Every minute, the body in his van grew colder, the seed losing some of its vital essence to the relentless villain of time. He picked his way past rickety fencing and backhoes parked haphazardly at each level of the pit, dodging loose stashes of rebar and overflowing porta-potties. There were still bits of stray hair where the woman had struck her head on the way down, clinging to the metal with bits of scalp attached. Someone had kicked dirt over the blood, dragged a tarp over to hide most of the crime. They wanted it to go away. The gardener pushed his hand into the dirt, let the gummy blood gather in the dirty webbing. He probed a thumb into his mouth and shook his head. More than enough had been spilled to spoil the site, but without a body it wouldn't take. The building was doomed before it even began, according to the code he followed. The gardener's belief wavered at times. This work was never something he imagined doing forever. It was an inheritance, more like obligation than vocation. He wasn't a preacher, and it was difficult for him to articulate the cause aloud. The true practitioners were doers, not talkers. They did what was necessary even after the rest of the world moved on. Sometimes the gardener lay awake for days in his walk-up, watching cars pass outside his window, the traffic light changing throughout the night. "To live in a world we don't understand," his father told him after their first killed together in the basement of a shuttered Greek restaurant, "we must build structures that permit understanding, even if it's misguided. We must build to live." People tried to work around the system, pretenders who drowned cats in burlap sacks and stuffed them into the foundation of new homes, half-committed men who raided the morgues of hospitals, coroners who looked the other way when the right amount appeared inside an envelope. They propped up the ruptured retail plazas with embalmed hands, did their best to restore convenience stores with lengths of intestine harvested from biowaste dump sites, presented pig lungs like they were human to the architects who finally decided to build their own family home, unaware of the flawed magic they purchased. If your child fell down those basement stairs, was it an accident? Or a late penalty on the debt you never paid? The earth didn't like installments. This Marigold kid, though, he'd been warned by the gardener himself, told what would happen if another mistake was made. The gardener thought they understood each other after the foundation of Marigold II, restoring order to their struggling relationship with an easy transaction. Everything had gone to plan. It may have been a different name on the branding around this new spoiled site, but the money all came from the same place. The last time the younger Marigold tried to cut corners, The older one had only just saved him in time, made a last-minute deal with the gardener down there beneath the parking garage to salvage a tower already threatening to topple. And now, with the old man faltering, the younger Marigold had gone back to his old ways, trying to grab a discount for this Holstein woman, making a mockery of the only meaning the gardener had anymore. He couldn't let this seed go to waste. The gardener looked up from the bottom of the shallow pit, tracking the moon through dangling cranes. There was a balance to this practice. If the first Marigold could come down, the second would never even have a chance to rise. All it would take would be a shift in the earth beneath that troubled first tower. A second seed fighting for its position against the one he'd planted before, a battle for sustenance that would disrupt the foundation's stability. The van still had gas. The seed wasn't dormant yet. The gardener had a new plan. To reaffirm the old rituals and restore any honor his father might have found in this cursed vocation, he'd have to shatter the pillars from inside the temple and bring them all down into the cold, wet earth with him.